Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is iRadio's
Group Chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Former traitor Caitlin Diddley is joining me now. She chats all things psychology, leadership and happiness over on her TikTok, and she's currently running a series on the TikTok that we could all do with a leaning into a little bit. Can you train yourself to be happy? That is the name of the series. Welcome back to iRadio's Group Chat, Caitlin. First of all, what inspired you to start this new series, Can You Train Yourself to Be Happy? What was the motivational factor behind it?
Yeah, well, I would say it's kind of a passion project. I'm very interested in happiness as a concept. And I think, like a lot of people in this era that we've been going through in the last, my generation and younger, I think anxiety is something that has become very prevalent, and depression as well. And I had my own struggles with depression when I was younger, in my 20s. And I put a lot of work into making myself the smiley, bubbly, happy person that you see before you today and that most people know me as. But I just think it's interesting that we do have a lot of choice and power in our happiness. And I just don't think maybe it's something that a lot of people talk about or are aware of. So I thought it could be helpful.
Can you talk me through some of the steps or techniques that you're talking about in the series then to help people become happier?
Yeah, so I kicked it off. It's really funny because I get a lot of accusations about how I dress like a teacher, and I'm not batting away any of those accusations anytime soon. Because I kicked it off with kind of trying to understand why, or how rather, you can make your mind happier. So I suppose if we think about our brains like a muscle that you can train in the gym, that we can actually, through repeated exposure and by using different neural pathways, like things that will make you happier, we can actually work that muscle and make it stronger and make ourselves happier. So I think it's interesting that it's often not what happens to us, but the way that we think about what happens to us that affects our levels of happiness. And there is a lot of studies that suggest that you can make yourself at least 10% happier than your baseline levels. So some of it is really, honestly, it's straightforward. It's the stuff that you hear people talking about all the time. The first one I think I kicked off with was gratitude journaling, which from my personal experience is probably the easiest and most effective way that I have found that I've been able to make myself happier. But I think people give up on it very easily because maybe we're just trained for short-term results, whereas it does take a little bit of practice and a little bit of consistency to actually see the benefits of it. My more recent one then is just about putting yourself out there and doing scary things, which again, I think some of the stuff, it's not groundbreaking, but I think being able to wrap it around some stories and then maybe talk about some of the research or why it makes you happier has been really impactful, and I've gotten a lot of really good feedback on. So yeah, doing things that scare you, introduces novelty into your life, new experiences that can make you experience time in a different way, which is really fascinating to me. It's our perception of time changes when we have novelty. And then we become less risk averse. So by default, we become happier.
You have a background in psychology, I know. So how has that shaped the way that you're approaching this series and what you're telling people?
Yeah, I suppose it's more of an interest than, like, there was parts of my degree that covered this kind of stuff. And actually, I have to give a former lecturer of mine in NUIG in Galway, Dr. Michael Hogan, he did a module called Positive Psychology with me in 2011, so 14 years ago. And I think it's the module that probably sticks out the most in my mind. A lot of it was focused on mindfulness, on, you know, how we can create that positive affect in our life. And then in my master's, we did some modules on well-being. And really, I suppose, if I was to sum up where I get my purpose or my why in work, is that I am just trying to make the workplace a happier place for employees. So I try to use that interest that I have and weave it into my life. I would say if people are interested, I get a lot of my information from a really, really great podcast called The Happiness Lab. There is, she is Harvard professor. I could be wrong, but her name is Dr. Laurie Santos, and she covers a lot of great tips like I'm discussing rather. Like we know, for example, social connection is the most consistent predictor of happiness. So surround yourself by loved ones. Pro-social behavior, so charity work or doing random acts of kindness. These are all things that contribute to our happiness. So although my background is in psychology, I would say this is more of like a side passion that I have outside of my education and my job.
Since beginning this journey for yourself then, kind of making your own self happier, and now you're kind of sharing that journey with other people, what has been the biggest mindset shift that you've experienced yourself?
Ooh, that is a really good one. I would say just, I suppose, leaning into the mindset. And I actually recently got a tattoo of two arrows. And the reason that I got it was because I wanted a reminder of what I said earlier, that it's not our circumstances that make us unhappy. It's how we think about them. So there is a Buddhist story about being shot with two arrows. And the story goes that, you know, they ask people, if you got shot with an arrow, how would you feel about it? And obviously people are like, yeah, I would feel terrible about that. It would not be good. And then they ask, well, if you got shot with a second arrow straight afterwards, how would you feel? And people are like, yeah, well, like that would be worse again, because now I'm trying to deal with two arrows. But the first arrow represents your circumstances or the things that happen to you, and you just don't have any control over those things. It's hardship, it's, you know, things outside of your control that you don't have any influence on. But the second arrow is actually the one that we shoot ourselves, and it's how we internalize and think about what happened. And actually that's where the Buddhists say that suffering comes from. So I got a tattoo of that to remind myself when something bad does happen that, yes, it's happened, but really to kind of shift my mindset from why to what now. So I would say that's probably been the most impactful thing for me, the mindset.
It's really empowering to hear you talk about these things, because as you said, they are quite straightforward, small things that can build to be better, even if it is 10%. I mean, 10% is a lot. If you are someone who is struggling, if you can implement any of these things, possibly they could work for you. But as we know, it can be very hard to keep up habits. And I know a lot of this is habitual, which you're trying to get people to do and follow suit with yourself. How do you go with the habits and keep them up? You know, what advice would you have for people on that?
Yeah, it's so interesting, because a lot of the work I do is on habits. And I think, you know, everybody wants radical change. Everybody wants, you know, huge transformation. But actually, that's not sustainable. It's about small, consistent habits that are going to make the big difference. And I know James Clear, he's the author of Atomic Habits. And I probably quote him at least 10 times a week. And my favorite quote by him is, you don't rise to the level of your goals, but you fall to the level of your systems. So I would say when it comes to habits, it's about, you know, he says, make it obvious, make it easy, make it satisfying. And oh my gosh, I can't remember the other one. But essentially, you want to remove the friction. So when I was talking to people about gratitude journaling, for example, you just remove the steps that make it difficult. So you put your gratitude journal on your bed, for example. So it's, first of all, it's obvious, and then it's also very easy for you to engage in that. So I think we often think of habits as like the outcome or the routine of the habit, but actually it's the rewards that will drive the habit. So you have to give yourself a reward afterwards. And I always tell people when they're thinking about it that we're actually just very complicated computers. And if you think about it like that, you can wire your brain for certain things, but you just need to understand how habits work. And as I said, it's consistency over perfection. So I definitely encourage people to read Atomic Habits if they're interested in building new habits, because it is just like wiring a computer.
I have actually seen that advertised, and it's something that's on my to-be-read list for sure. And now you're making me want to buy it even more, because obviously we know it, mental health and your brain, it's so complicated. It's not about, you know, fixing absolutely everything. That is totally not, it's not achievable with just these steps alone. It's all about a maintenance and doing what you can to help yourself as much as possible. But adding too many habits in at once, can that be overwhelming? Would you suggest that people kind of incorporate things slowly at first so that it can become more sustainable?
Yeah, I would say like make the barrier to entry as easy as possible. So it really is about starting small and then layering up as you go. If you make it too difficult to start, you're not going to engage with it because you will get overwhelmed. So you really want to optimize for that starting line. And as I said, make it as achievable as possible. And also give yourself a bit of grace because, you know, there's life happens. There's things that we cannot control. I think that's a big mindset shift as well, is like just accepting that there are things outside your control. But do what James Clear also calls a pre-mortem, so an if-then plan. So if, for example, I don't get to go to the gym because my kid is sick and I'm not able to leave the house, then I will do 20 minutes of stretching at home. So you're kind of creating a fail-safe plan for when things go wrong. But as I said, it's not about perfection. And I think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes people make going into this is what you've described, trying to do too much at once and then beating themselves up when they don't do it perfectly, when actually you just want to be consistent and do what you can and give yourself some compassion and a bit of grace, because that also contributes to your mental health.
I think that the example of us being like computers is great, because when you do incorporate too many habits in one go, you can short circuit a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You kind of fail before you've even started. So that's good advice, to kind of incorporate it and have a fail-safe plan in there. But finally, if you were to design a happiness starter pack for somebody, what would be the basic techniques or tools or things that you would put in it for somebody?
Oh, well, if I was to make it as easy as possible for people, I think the big thing, and I know we spoke about this in one of our videos, but we live in like a really, really, really fast paced world, right? Like our lives are getting busier and busier all the time. And because of that, even though we might not ever be alone, we can often be lonely because we don't really create that space for like meaningful connection with people. So even if it is like scheduling some really good quality time with your friends or your family or your partner or whatever that looks like, social connection is the most consistent predictor of happiness, and it can actually predict your long-term health as well. So I would say that's probably the most important thing that you can do. Then some other things that are really helpful, as I said, the gratitude journaling, try to get into a habit of it. It's probably the easiest thing that I would say you can do. Pro-social behavior has been consistently shown to contribute to our happiness. That doesn't mean that you have to go off and give up, you know, a day of your week to volunteer, but it's even just small acts of kindness can really contribute to our happiness as well. And then if you want to really level up, you can do any kind of mindfulness, like yoga nidra meditations, which are quick body scans, because what actually happens is they develop the gray matter in your brain, which can also contribute to your levels of happiness. And mindfulness has just been shown to have such a huge impact as well. But if we want to make it easy and we want to make it so there's no barriers to entry, spend time with the people you love, quality time, whip out the journal, write down even the small delights that you're happy for, and just try and do a couple of small acts of kindness for people. I think that would be a really good entryway into it.
I love that advice. So basic, but so empowering. And it's something I'm going to try and incorporate myself after our chat today. But Caitlin, if people are looking to find your Can You Train Yourself to Be Happy series over on TikTok and all of the content that you have, because I know you're up to so much, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram and TikTok, and my handle is the same. It's Caitlin Dively, so KaitlynDivilly.
Well, Caitlin, a pleasure to meet you and to chat to you, and I'm sure we will have you on again in iRadio's group chat for some more talk about happiness and all these wonderful things, and have a lovely day.
Thank you so much. I loved being on. Take care.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.
On iRadio.